Welcome to Single and Married with Bimbo Odukwe.
Well, I put it this way, how you can be happy in any relationship, but I'm going to focus on marriage. So marriage is a lifetime of love and commitment to one person with whom we can share life. I want you to underline the word share. One of the reasons why people are not happy in marriage is somebody thinks, I'm going into marriage for somebody to serve me alone. No. It's not about you, it's about both of you. Praise the Lord. What we have in marriage is, we have somebody who is controlling the other person, and the other one who is living for somebody else. Instead of two people sharing their life together. Do you get the point? So if I'm going to get married, and I'm going to be happy in marriage, I've got to understand, I can't go into marriage and it's all about me. It has to be all about both of us. If I want somebody to serve me and I'm not ready to serve somebody else, I cannot be happy in marriage and my marriage cannot be successful. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But if I realize, see, when I go into marriage deciding that somebody else will do everything I want to do, that is called control, not love. I'm going into marriage to control somebody else. And the truth of the matter is, no matter how somebody wants to serve you, if it is all about you, that person will be miserable in marriage and can't love you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Praise the Lord. So marriage is a lifetime of love and commitment to one person with whom we share life. Marriage is one of God's greatest gifts to humanity. When I'm getting into marriage or I want to learn how to treat another person, which is what marriage is all about, then I'm learning how to give people somebody else gifts. You see, marriage is about giving love, and love is giving a gift to somebody else. Alright, so when I have it in my mind that it's not all about me, it's about a gift. Marriage is one of God's greatest gifts to humanity. God looked at us and said, I want to make you understand what love is. I want to make you understand that if you're going to love, just like I gave you my son, you have to learn to give somebody something. Do you understand? So it's all about giving the gift of love, and therefore the gift of kindness, gift of understanding, the gift of patience, etc. Praise the Lord. Love is at the heart of marriage, as it is at the heart of God himself. Let's just go to 1 John 4:7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of who? Love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You see, love, it's God. Love is about God. And therefore, the more I behave like God, the more I will love somebody else. But you see, one thing I have found out is, it's so easy to say as Christians, we know how to behave like God. But the truth of the matter is, you have to be taught how to behave like God. So in other words, what I'm going to be teaching you today is how to behave like God. Because you see, you can't love without knowing God and without having been born of God. Are you with me? When God comes inside of you, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, God comes in and love comes in. But the fact still remains that we need to be taught how to behave like God. And that's why in Romans 12, the Bible says we should present our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. But it also says we should be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. So in other words, if I'm going to be like God, I have to act like God. And the only way I can act like God is to renew my mind. And I cannot renew my mind without reading the Bible. The more I read the Bible, the more I pray, the more I start to act like God. But notwithstanding, sometimes we read the Bible and we don't even understand what the Bible is saying. And we quote the scriptures out of context. Do you understand? So what I'm going to be doing today is to show you how You can have a good marriage and you'll be happy in marriage. Now, listen to this. I have looked at marriages and I have seen that a lot of people are committed to their spouse, but they are not happy. Now, why are they committed? They know that God says, when you get married, it's forever. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 19, it says, what God has joined together, Matthew 6, no one should put what asunder. Matthew 19:6. But the point is this, marriage is more than commitment. If I'm just committed to my spouse and I'm not happy, I'm doing things wrong. So what we have is, we have a lot of people who are not happy in their marriages, but they are staying in their marriages because they have to stay. But that is not God's ideal. God wants us to love and God wants us to be committed. So what we have is, people are committed, all right, to their spouse, but there's no love, there's no intimacy, and there's no deep sharing. You see, the reason why I will have commitment in marriage without love is because there's no deep sharing. Do you get it? If I'm going to have love, all right, if I'm going to experience happiness, I must focus on the word share. What is all about me? Somebody might be committed to me, all right, but will not be happy with me. I'm going to show you cases of people who lived together and are still living together. They've lived for over 40 years together, but they are not happy. They are legally married, all right, they are not emotionally connected. They are legally married, but they don't have deep love. They're not experiencing love. Somebody said, how can you love somebody so much and yet experience little love along the way? A lot of people get into marriage loving their spouse so much, but along the way they experience little love. It's very possible. It's very possible for me to love you so much and yet I experience little love. And that's what's happening in marriages. People are saying, but I love this man, I don't want to leave him, but he's not making me happy, she's not making me happy, I'm not emotionally connected, I don't feel true love, I don't feel true acceptance. All I feel is I'm slaving for this man, I'm slaving for this woman, this man is just asking everything of me and giving me nothing. That's not the way to love. And what I'm going to be teaching, you see, for me, I keep saying to myself, if I can teach the singles what true love is all about and how to love, and once you make up your mind, I'm going to love, then marriage will be no big deal. Everybody can get married in some months, a year at least. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When two people together, take note of the word two people together. It's all about two people together doing something. If marriage will work, then two people together must do something. Do what? Take responsibility to do what is best for marriage. Love cannot grow until two people do what is best for each other. Do you get it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, when two people do not do what is best for each other, one takes on too much responsibility and she gets angry with herself and with her spouse. The other does not take on enough and becomes self-centered or controlling. That's what we have in most marriages. It's lopsided. One person is taking everything, the other person is doing nothing. So one is angry with herself and with the other person, or with himself or the other person, and one is just being cool with himself. But the truth of the matter is, none of them will be happy. Because love doesn't work that way. Praise the Lord. Now listen. Let me give you some true life stories. I read a book, and a counselor gave this experience he had with two couples. He said these two couples had lived for 40 years together and above. They were in their golden years. And he noticed something that caught my attention. He spent time with these two couples separately and he noticed something. And this is it. Let's call the first couple Tony and Elizabeth. They had lived together for 40 years. And he was with them having dinner. He noticed that the wife wasn't very free with the husband, and the husband wasn't very free with the wife. And he noticed, and he wondered why. Because you see, if you have lived together for 40 years and above, you should have worked together so much that you are so knitted together in love. You should have got to a point where you love each other and you can see two people who are fond of each other and are deeply in love. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. He noticed that that freedom was not there. Listen, where there's love and freedom, there's slavery and there's rebellion. Where there's love and there's no freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to express what is in me, there is slavery and there will be rebellion and there can't be happiness. Now, while they were eating, they had had, you know, the first course, second course. When it was time for the last course, the dessert, the man looked at his wife and just said to, let's say Tony said to Elizabeth, dessert. And, you know, just said to her, dessert. He didn't say, honey, can you get me my dessert? Nor did she say, honey, can I get you your dessert? He just said to her, dessert. And he sat there feeling cool. I'm talking about people that had lived together for 40 years. And the lady listened, looked at him for some time, thinking of what to say. And she now said, I'm sorry, you get your dessert for yourself. And so the man got up. He was shocked because that was the first time she would react that way. He was used to her just getting up and getting the dessert. When he got up to get the dessert, Elizabeth now says to the counselor that was with them, and she said, you see, I have taken this for too long and I cannot handle it anymore. I will not even let him embarrass me now in front of my friends. It's okay for him to do it in private, but I'm tired and I just had to react. The man came back, and what the counselor took note of or saw was this. They had lived together for 40 years, but they were two unhappy people, legally connected, but had not experienced true love. Because one person was used to controlling the other person had allowed the control. I'm getting there now. The other person had allowed the control for so long. Now, when somebody is controlling you and you allow the control, you both not be happy. I'm getting there now. Now, before I give you the next couple's experience, let me just read this out to you. A matured and complete adult not only takes responsibility for himself, but also requires the same from the people he loves. A matured and complete adult not only takes responsibility for himself, but also requires the same from the people he loves. Now listen, not to require responsibility from others is not to be responsible yourself. Do you get it? Not to require responsibility from somebody else is not to be responsible yourself. Therefore, if I am a matured person, I will not allow myself to be trampled on by somebody, yet I won't trample on somebody else. A lady was controlling and was complaining to a friend in a plane about how she was married to an irresponsible husband, a husband who was not kind, who was not caring, who would not listen to her, and she went on and on and on. And a pastor heard what they were saying, and the pastor said to her, Madam, were you forced into this marriage? And she said no. And the pastor said, you must be responsible yourself, or you might think you are matured, but you are honestly, you are not as matured as you think you are. Because if you will pick at this type of person, you are not as responsible as you think you are. Do you get the point? Now let me read some scriptures to back what I'm saying. Look at 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is what? Love. We must love. If you don't love, you don't know God. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to what? To be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now listen to the second what the counselor knows about the second couple. He had dinner in the house of a second couple, and he noticed love, he noticed freedom, he noticed deep intimacy. Now, the guy talking about these two couples is a counselor, and the lady he's now talking about, the second lady, also is a counselor. Now, the lady invited him for some programs. It was not time for him to go to the hotel, go back to the hotel. Now, because the woman invited him, she felt responsible to go and drop him at the hotel. But as she was going to drop him, her husband looked at her and said, "Honey, you look tired. Let me drop him instead of you going." And she said, "Thank you, darling." And she gave him the keys. And he went to drop the counselor for her, the guy for her. The next day, the counselor said to her, "You have such a wonderful marriage." And she said, "That wasn't how it was." She said, when we got married, at the beginning of our marriage, my husband would not have offered to do what he did. And I would not have asked him to do it either. She said, but I had to insist at the beginning of my marriage, and we had to both deal with issues we're not happy with. And she said, even though it was difficult, she said, where we are today is because we dealt with issues early. She said, where we are today is because we both decided that no one will control each other. And we had to deal with the issues as they came. And she said, the type of love that both of us experienced, I wouldn't let it go for anything in my life. She said, we're so knitted, we're so intimate, we're so in love. But she said, we had to learn to respect each other. 1 Peter 2 says, honor all men. You see, the reason why people are not happy in their marriages is because they're not dealing with issues. One person is controlling and one person is being controlled. That's not love. That's not love. I'll give you another one. A man was about to go to bed with his wife, and he realized that he wasn't really interested in sleeping with his wife or making love to his wife. And he was very happy when the wife indicated that she was very tired that night. But he left her in the room and went to the sitting room or the living room to just take a cup of tea. And he wondered, why will I feel relieved that my wife is tired? Why will I feel relieved that my wife is not interested in making love to me? Something is wrong somewhere. Deep in his heart, he knew what was wrong. He knew that he had lived with a woman who was very self-centered. He had taken it for so long, but he wasn't happy with her. Nor was she happy with him, because he couldn't love her the way he wanted to love her, though he loved her so much. Because his wife had not respected him so many times, even though he was ready to respect her, both of them were not experiencing true love. And he gave some examples. He said, every time we're going on vacation, my wife always has her way. She always decides where to go. And when I try to tell her, okay, we went where you went last time, let's go to my place this time, she'll always have a reason why they should go to her place. She'll cry, she'll get angry, and he'll let her have her way. So every time they had gone on vacation, they had gone to where she wanted to go. Every time they went for dinner, she picked the restaurant. No matter how much he would try to let her realize that we went to the Chinese restaurant last time, let's go to another one, and it's one I want to go. She let him know how much she loves him, how much she likes him, and how much he has to obey her. And so they'll go to her own restaurant. And then he realized that when they got married, they were both in school. And because he was a leader in the home, he decided to drop out of school for her to finish her school. And so she finished law school. And the agreement was, when they get married, after some years, she would keep working while he goes back to school. But looking back now, every time he had suggested to her that he wanted to go back to school, she'll have a reason why it wasn't the right time for them. But deep in his heart, he knew it wasn't about him, it was about her. When she said it wasn't the right time for them, she meant it's not the right time for me. And looking back now, he feels angry with her because she's a graduate and he's not. And she always has a reason why it's not the right time for him to go back to school. And then he looked at other issues and realized he could not be intimate with this woman because she was all about herself. All about herself. Everything had to be done at her time, at her convenience. She would cry, she would get angry, she would get upset because it had to be all about her. And he felt so bad. Even though he was committed to this woman, he didn't truly love her. He couldn't love her because love doesn't work that way. Love will not grow when there's control. The Bible talks about, in Galatians 5:22, says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, and what? Self-control. God didn't say we should go into marriage to control somebody else. He says we should go into marriage to control ourselves. Because if I don't control myself, I would not share my life with you. If we're going to have a good marriage, it must be about both of us. We must share a life together. We must be free to express the things in our hearts. We must be free to speak to each other. Praise the Lord. Now listen to what somebody said. Hallelujah. One of the greatest gifts we can give to each other is a gift of honesty and confrontation. If you love me, you must confront me. Ha ha ha. If you love me, you must be honest with me. Bible says, speak the truth in love. Where I cannot tell you the truth about yourself, where you cannot tell me the truth about myself, there is no love. Hallelujah. The Bible says, it is the person that God loves that he corrects. Therefore, love cannot grow if my spouse cannot truthfully tell me what I'm doing wrong. Love cannot grow if my spouse cannot confront me lovingly. Love cannot grow if my spouse cannot be honest with me. Let's lift our hands up and worship the Lord.
I grew up in an environment whereby my mother has this dominating thing. She dominates over my dad. That man has nothing to say. I mean, what do you mean dominate over the family? She actually dominates over the family, dominates over everything. And we grew up with that mentality of my mother dominating my father. And I thank God it took a long time that I troubled here and there and all that. They go on for counseling and the children. You could mean when a lady starts dominating a man, he has nothing to get from it. So eventually my dad was fed up. In order to fight back, daddy too begins to behave funny. You know, begin to keep late outings. He doesn't bother what happened to the children and all that. Until just of recent, the Holy Spirit came in, God came in, and my mother, I discovered that when my mother begins to submit, daddy begins to express that love. I mean,
you need to lovingly tell your spouse those things that he's doing you don't like and start praying about it, and the Lord will touch your spouse and the Lord will touch your marriage and God will turn your marriage around. Praise the Lord. But I just want to say this to everybody out there. You see, you can't love somebody until you know Jesus Christ. And if you're here today or you're listening to me and you haven't given your life to Christ, you would not be able to love somebody else. You'll take control of somebody else. Today I'm asking you to receive the King of Love, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ himself, into your heart. When love comes in, when Jesus comes in, even though you might be unhappy the way people are treating you, God will give you peace, God will give you joy, and God will help you to know how to stop being passive and how to start to love people, but not let people take advantage of you. If you're out there and you'd like to give your life to Christ, because that's the solution to any problem that you have, I want you to say this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, today I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I ask you, Father, to forgive me of all my sins. I've sinned against you in my thoughts, in my words, and in my deeds. And today I'm asking for forgiveness. Jesus, come into my heart, save me, and thank you, Jesus, for saving me. God bless you. If you're born again, you give your life to Christ, why don't you just give me a call or come to church on Sunday, meet Pastor. I'm the associate pastor. My husband is the pastor of the church. We'll get to meet you and things will change your life. God bless you.
I am sure you've enjoyed this episode of Single and Married. Join us again next week.
Single and Married is a ministry of the Fountain of Life Church in Lepeju, Lagos, anchored by Pastor Bimbo Odukoya, the Associate Senior Pastor. Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, the Senior Pastor of the Fountain of Life Church, invites you to worship with us on Sundays. First service, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Second service, 9:15 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Mondays, 6 p.m. at the Singles Fellowship. Wednesdays, 6 p.m. at the Matrix Service. Thursdays, 6 p.m. at the Married Men and Married Women's Fellowships. All audio and video tapes of Single and Married plus other audio and video tapes addressing various marital and single issues are available for sale at the Fountain of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, off Town Planning Way in Lepeju, Lagos. Telephone number 496-8646 or 496-8647. Thank you and God bless.